We'd like to welcome those of you who have joined us, Fangrove Baptist Church, for a midweek Bible study. Hope and pray you join to worship with us in spirit and in truth. Tonight, I want us to look at what it takes to really change. Now, last week, we talked about prayer, our focus and all on prayer. I want us to look now at our focus time on me, you, number one, you being the individual. I must really focus on me rather than just saying, God, fix me. God, fix me. So here we go. I'm going to give us six principles for the lasting change. Principle of dedication is number one. That's committing our body to God. Often we will listen to individuals say that, you know, I'm in spiritual prayer at all time. And that's true. That's where how we're supposed to do. We can be in prayer anywhere. We don't have to be out loud. We don't have to get on our knees. We can humble our heart and we can pray. But the dedication part is, God says, okay, I know, Larry, I have your spirit. And I know you're already with me. But I want your body to be doing something down there before you leave it. So, commit our body to God. That's the principle of dedication. Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. One translation, and I think it's the Old English, King James, says that this is your reasonable act of service. This is what's just, when you say yes to me, then this is part of you. This is, you accept the responsibility of committing your body. It's sort of like when somebody will ask you, say, will you remember me in prayer? Let me tell you, what we need to do on that is, sure, let's pray right now. Because our minds are not well enough trained anymore because we got too much going through them. And then that'll also keep you from waking up in the middle of the night or early in the morning with the Lord saying, who was it you supposed to pray for? So you have prayer right then and there. I don't care if it's on the telephone. I don't care where it is. You're in the middle of a grocery store. So let's stop for prayer. But I urge you, brothers. Paul always was urging. Sometimes he was not truly kind in the process to urging because he could lose it. And I mean lose it big time. But there wasn't anything new for him, nor was it different from the other apostles. Peter, James... all of them could, because he would get John, Mark, Luke, all of them were under attack continually from Satan. They knew that spiritually they were with Christ, but Satan did everything he could to keep them from one another or each other, of finding Christ. Common ground or doing any of this. Let me offer you this one also on that. You all remember the idea when it was Apostle Paul got into it with John Mark, the penman of the Gospel of Mark. And here they were so vicious with each other, but had that not occurred, you know, I can picture that while Satan was really touching. Had that not occurred, oh gosh, the best I could remember about this was that, I'm trying to think way, way back to a professor was saying, said, Russia would not have heard the gospel. Right now, they act like they haven't either, but that God used that instead of them all grouping together. That was a tendency also. So human nature then starts playing a role to the point, and God uses the role of human nature where they're all going to get tussling with each other. And he said, fine, that's good. Now you go here and you go there. And as God said, you commit your body to me, I'll give you the courage with that, and I'll make the way for you. But living sacrifice, he said, no, you do not have to go out there and get shot or killed to glorify me. Some people will do that. Some will glorify God through their death. But he said, look, Christians, you're going to glorify me with your life, with living. You know, dying is not that big a deal, folks. I mean, as far as to do it. I'm not afraid of the death part. It's the process of getting there that aggravates the fire out of you. But God says, I want you to live for me. I want you to take my ministry in the way that I give it to you. This is what I want you to do, because this is your reasonable service, or this is your spiritual act of worship. I'm worshiping the Lord in my spirit. But God's word says to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So through my body, I express my spiritual act of worship. Principle number two. The principle of concentration. The older you get, you better focus on it now, you two young girls. Focus on concentration while you're young, because as we get older, I'd love to concentrate on things. My problem has always been, during all that concentration, I forget what I'm concentrating on. Do you all ever find yourself that way? Now, you're not going to admit it, are you? Yeah.
What were you talking about?
So the principle of concentration is we must renew our mind. To renew, we all know that means to make new again, to renew, get back to where we ought to be, to renew it. We must renew our mind. Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Very easy for us. Well, we are caught up into that pattern. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Going back thinking, you hear me saying that with us Christians a lot of times. When the difficult times come and you're really hurting in many ways and you think, God, where are you? Go back in your mind or physically, if you can, to the beginning. When you are, question your salvation, because Satan will do that. He's very tricky that way. Then, wait a minute. After I go back to it in my mind, no. Satan, I know what I did at that time. But again, it is good to go back to the place where you remember it. Walk around there. No longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay. The will of God. We're focusing on, let me do this right. When we're talking about the will of God, we understand that the will of God is perfect. You got that? The will of God is the perfect will. we see encouragement for us to focus into the perfect will of God. But because of our human condition, you and I do not live in the perfect will of God. But the Bible says we should, shouldn't it? The God's word, God told us that we can't. He said, I've looked to the heart of man and I find nothing good in it, evil continually. So you and I do not live in the perfect will of God, but we do live in the permissible will of God. That's through the grace that he has given us. Now, if you're going to stand before God and you say, Lord, I have focused on your perfect will my whole life ever since I was saved. Well, you're starting off with a lie, and we know it. You and I cannot even focus on God's perfect will. But because of grace, he says, I will give you the strength to live in a permissible will of God. Because of our, I never played golf in my life, but to get something because of a handicap somebody has. Well, the human nature has a big time handicap called sin. But through grace, we live in the permissible. How do I know we're living in a permissible will of God? One big way of knowing is God is the only one who lives in the perfect will. And if we could not live by his permission, then we'd all be dead. Because none of us can get it right. Nobody can get it right. So therefore, we must renew our mind to focus on what can God get me through. I don't ever put, and even have a hard time saying this when I know I'll read a scripture and it says, and God cannot lie. And it still bothers me when I'm reading it simply because I cannot stand to say, cannot about anything God wants to do. But I finally learned through God's Spirit that he cannot lie because he set that guideline for himself. Therefore, I can read through that now and be just fine. Lord, forgive me for skipping over some of these words. Principle number three, the principle of self-evaluation. I hate this one. I'd much rather evaluate Phyllis or Kathy or, I don't want to do Kidder, I got to do Stephanie, and gosh, I'd hate to get in some of the minds because it'd have to be spooky in there. Principle three, principle of self-evaluation, we must humbly assess our current state. It is very difficult for us to humbly do anything. To be humble means that you put self completely out of the picture. And to be humble means whatever you will, I will. And to accept all guilt, all everything. Now that is the humbly assess our current state, meaning, Lord, I am a, what was the word on the song that you save a wretch like me? Randy, can you remember the actual word? Those words have been changed over the years simply because it's too rough to use in a song. I remember one of them wasn't a worm, it was a maggot like myself. Was a translation on it, and I remember again Dr. George Redding saying, now this is why. How many of you think you're going to get by with saying that in amazing grace? And then he said, but I can tell you this, at the time of authorship, a lot of words were very strong and stern that we would not use today. But pick up your old English King James, start reading. You'll read a few of them. Romans 12:3, for by the grace given me, I said to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly, meaning be humble, than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, which is, you know, right thinking, honesty with inside herself. With sober judgment, has nothing to do with alcohol. In accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Remember what the Lord would say when he was healing people? Let's take the lepers, the 10. He said, according to your faith, let it be done. And he always said, according to your faith. It is according to the faith that has been given us. When one person says, I have faith that this will happen with me, the other person over here looking and saying, well, that can't happen that way because, for one thing, you probably got trouble with salvation because you didn't even cry when you got saved. You know, one of those things. Or you did not have the emotions that I had during that time. Okay, when we start saying that or doing that, does that not take out humility? Is that not then what we are saying from the standpoint of if it goes back to the Pharisee, I suppose. I ask, Father, that you, I thank you that I am not like the rest of these people, those sinners over there. So, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you, a lot of people, when you're listening to someone saying, I have faith, this is what God is leading me to do, back off. That is a faith measured out to each individual. Principle number 4, the principle of cooperation. The closest we come to even using cooperation anymore is in corporations. Uniting together in cooperation is one of the deadliest losses within God's church of our generation. And that again is because of pride. That again is because that if everybody thought like I thought, then as Uncle Pete said, if everybody thought like I thought, I'm glad they don't. Because if they did, everybody want my wife. And then Uncle Homer, one of them, said, yeah, if everybody thought like I did, nobody want your wife. So we must have church community support. Each other. You ready? Romans 12:4-5. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of his one body. And each of us has different work to do. And since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the other. That's how the body works. If your rotator cuff is not working right, then it makes your whole body ache. You know, anything that is wrong with it, one part of our body hurts, then all of us hurt. And that's what he's saying. When you're talking about the body of believers, when one hurts, all should hurt. So the principle of community or cooperation. Principle number 5, the principle of affirmation. We must fill our life with love. You cannot affirm a sister or a brother in Christ, you cannot affirm unless your heart is filled with love. Difficult in all generations. This generation, a lot of hate, a lot of fear, a lot of distrust. And I'm talking about in the church. Think about how the world is. Well, we don't have to think about it. We see it because all of us live in it. And again, the principle of affirmation has always been a calling of every Christian. You support each other. If Christians don't support one another, who's going to support them? So, therefore, affirm through your love of your brother or sister in Christ. Romans 12, 9 and 10. You know that Romans 12, 4 and 5, that only sounds to me like that. That's verse 4. When y'all are looking that up, I could be wrong. It may be 5. I'm sorry? It is, but thank you. Okay, the principle of affirmation, we must fill our life with love. Romans 12, 9 and 10. Don't just pretend that you love others. Huh? Really love them. Hate what is evil. Stand on the side of the good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. When one, you know, is honored for whatever it may be, the whole church should be involved in that honor. When one is hurting, for whatever reason, the whole church ought to hurt. That's through the affirmation of love. Because you're hurting, I want you to know that my love for you is going to be with you to help sustain us. So, don't just pretend that you love others. That is really, really, really important, right? Y'all ever think somebody says they're pretending about anything? You know, my whole focus over the years, as you all know, was studying personality and personality profiling. And to watch people when they would, their facial expressions and talking about, yes, I support you. And I had got to the point where I could just almost read them on the facial expression. And I thought, I got to get out of this. Simply because my heart's getting hardened with some folk that keep saying one thing, but it's obvious they're not. And I thought, how are you ever going to be able to trust when that goes on? So I try not to do that, although sometimes I can't help it. Honor each other is a part of loving. You all go along with that? To give honor is a part of love. Okay, here's your last principle. Principle number 6, the principle of motivation. We must nurture our enthusiasm. And you know, any of you have trouble getting motivated? Some of us have a lot of trouble being able to move. Our mind says we can do this. But the body says you can motivate your mind all you want to, Larry. I'm not going to move in that direction. I don't care how motivated you are. So we motivate and nurture the enthusiasm, not just enthusiasm within ourselves. How many times have you heard someone, when you got a young Christian, they're on fire and you've got a bunch of Christians that are tired and worn out. They've only been Christians for a year, but they're tired and worn out. And then all of a sudden, this young Christian comes in. That Christian is excited. And what do they say? Oh, don't worry about it, son. You won't feel that way after a while. Don't you worry. All of that will be gone by the wayside. Boy, isn't that pumping him up, isn't it? God says, nurture enthusiasm in others as well in yourself. Romans 12, 11 and 12. Never be lacking in zeal. Oh, which disciple was the zealot? There was, gosh.
Wasn't Judas?
No, he was close to, he was exciting, all right.
No, actually, now, I think he's right.
Was it Judas?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Not the one that betrayed Christ, not Iscariot.
Oh, that's right. Okay. All right. Thank you. I was thinking. He's getting it. Anyway, never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord. Now, for me to serve the Lord, the only way I can do that is serve my fellow man, right? What can I give God? Doesn't he already have everything? I couldn't even give God my love until he first loved me. And now I don't know how to really return that type of love. So what are we called to do? That we are always to be enthusiastic. We are always to be individuals that are going to be there for whoever. And we're going to serve the Lord by serving others. That's what he's looking for. He said, all I want from you is the empty hands. I'll put in it what you need. Be joyful in hope. How many people you see today that are so sad, and you ask them, they'll let you know they've lost hope. Be joyful in hope. Okay, a lot of things that happen to us do not make us joyful. Not even close. That doesn't make us joyful. But what does God's Word say? Now, I want you to take joy in the hope. See, I have the promise of this day, but I have the hope for tomorrow. In serving the Lord. So the Lord says, wait upon the Lord. So therefore, be joyful in the hope. Better days are coming. You really believe that?
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah, I know that. I read the book. Patient in affliction. Gosh, now you talk about hard. You know, how many times? Oh, Lord, you know, all of the aches and pains. Don't you think somebody else deserves them more than I do? Let them have. And that's what we get. Remember the country parson, as I said, closest some people come to thanking God is when someone else's misfortune didn't happen to them. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Faithful in prayer. Now, our prayer goes to God. Okay? Our prayer goes to God. Be faithful in making certain that we pray one for another. And not just tell one another, oh, I'm praying for you. Be faithful in prayer. Because if I'm going to pray, I'm going to pray to God for you. You're going to pray to God for me. Because that's what God has told us to do. Because prayer, what they call open air prayer, normally the reason people say, I don't feel like my prayer got past the ceiling, Well, notice what's between you and the ceiling. Is it not that, what, a 10-pound brain? No, how much brain weigh? 3? Anybody remember? Do what?
I said, yours probably weighs 10.
Because you're too smart. Yes, when you get those big brains, you know. But what happened? It is your thought process gets in the way, doesn't it? All right. The Lord said, let me hear your spirit. Well, Lord, okay, I will do that. Just let my mind get in gear. That's the trouble. Our minds never seem to get in gear for anything. These principles, folks, I thought would be good. It's the reason I got them down for us. And the more I read a lot of it, the more I see how many times I have fallen prey to the good and more times to the bad. We get caught up in the world, and when you get caught up in the world, you think like the world. You get with worldly people, and pretty soon, not only are you thinking or with them, you become a part of them. And the Lord said, get that mind renewed. Let's get off it. For those of you who don't have a church home, you're within the Vine Grove area. You come and see us, 408 West Main Street in Vine Grove. God bless you and have a blessed rest of the week.